Chris Miles was able to retire twice by the time he was 39 years old. But he's not content to just enjoy his own financial freedom and peace of mind. Chris wants you to have your own ripple effect so you can live free today. He's not the financial advisor you expected. He's the anti-financial advisor you deserve. He's jumping behind the mic right now, ready to make waves. Here's Chris Miles.
Hello, my fellow Ripplers. This is Chris Miles, your cash flow expert and anti-financial advisor. Welcome out for a wonderful show. A show that's for you guys. It really is about for you and about you. Those of you that work so hard for your money, but you're now ready for your money to start working harder for you today. You don't want to wait that 20 or 30, 40 years, possibly, if you're lucky, for retirement. You want the cash flow and that freedom today, right now. You want to be able to work because you want to, not because you have to have that freedom to enjoy your life, but not just to have the fun, excitement, and freedom of your life, but to truly enjoy and bless others' lives too. Because as a Rippler, that is what you're here to do. You are here to bless more people's lives as your life is blessed as well. And guys, I appreciate you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for allowing me to create the ripple effect through you and be able to create a great, I love it. Like, you guys really get me to have so much fun and joy doing what I do every day by teaching you guys and essentially helping you guys create freedom for yourself. And that for me, guys, is like one of my biggest causes that I wake up every day excited to do. And so I appreciate you guys allowing me to be a part of that. As a reminder, you can check out our website, moneyripples.com. There's great stuff on there. And of course, you got questions, you'll always shoot me an email through there too. A quick shout out to today's sponsor, the Garmax Group, a privately held debt fund that specializes in the alternative investment space. Garmax will borrow cash or self-directed IRA capital from private investors on above-market fixed-rate promissory notes, which provide repeatable monthly interest payments to its lenders. In other words, great returns paid out monthly. Garmax is a private and closely held diversified investment company managed by Kurt Kuffner with investment project experience in real estate, oil and gas, private commercial specialty loans, non-performing paper and collections, and a startup funding division that focuses on late-stage startups. Great company. You can learn more about Garmax or set up a time to talk to Kurt by visiting their site, garmaxgroup.com, and complete the Contact Us section at the bottom of their site. Again, that's Garmax, not CarMax, the used car company, but Garmax with a G, GARMAX group.com. Check them out. So today, this is part two of Use and Abuse of Blessings. We're going to talk about specifically kind of tie in what we just talked about last time, which was about stewardship, right? What do we use it for? If you recall last episode, we said, hey, listen, it ultimately comes down to this, is that you want to try to increase and grow your stewardship, but to the point that you can manage it. And anything above and beyond that, share with others in that abundance and allow them to exchange with you and everything else. I want to give a key principle that goes with that, is that exchange creates wealth. Exchange creates wealth. The faster and more often you exchange with others, the more wealthy everybody becomes. If you recall, I talked about that win-win-win scenario, right? Where I was able to, you know, connect people, and I still do that to this day to some level, but connecting people, allowing them to have the right, you know, well, connect them with the right people to give them the service they need so that both parties are happy. And then I'm also happy as well because I can partake in the abundance with that. And that's kind of the fun thing that exists. If you can create a world where everybody exchanges with one another and benefits each other's lives, that is the essence of prosperity. That is the essence of abundance right there. Now I want to continue on this because now I want to get to is how do you protect and produce? How do you create more stewardship, more prosperity with what you have? And so going along with this use and abuse of blessings speech given by Brigham Young in 1853, again, you can Google it and find it. But I want to keep continuing on this, taking this aspect of now, how do we grow it and protect it at the same time? Now I want to use this as a transition. This is a quote. This is the one I was going to share at the end of the last episode, and I decided to save it for this one. He talks about that a man has no right with property, which according to the laws of land legally belongs to him, if he does not want to use it. So he says he ought to possess no more than he can put to usury and cause to do good to himself and his fellow man. So summing this up, you shouldn't have anything more than what you want to have. This is key because I have some people say, Chris, what if I don't want millions and millions of dollars of assets? Great. You don't have to. You're not. Although we are meant to increase and grow both ourselves first and foremost, And then our stewardship, our physical world, second. Still, that doesn't mean you have to make billions of dollars to say, hey, I succeeded at life. This is it. You do with whatever you want to do. Go back to the parable of the talents that you find in the Bible, right? Parable of the talents of those three servants. One was given one bag of talents. The other was given two bags. The other was given five. Now, of course, the one that had one feared to lose it, buried it, and then dug it back up later to give it. And the master said, nope, no good. I'm not giving it to you. I'm going to give it to this guy that had five that made five more. He doubled what I gave him. That was a wise steward. He's going to get more. Now, the person with one could have gone and made two, and that would have been just fine. That could be the equivalent of not making millions of dollars. He could have just said, hey, this is my life. It's simple, but it's awesome. You know, I got a client right now. She's living this beautiful retired life that people just rave about. They're like, I wish I had that life. Guys, she's not living on more than like $3,000 a month. That's it. It doesn't take her much at all. That's the beauty of this, right? Is that you have that surplus. You have that ability to create more. So understand that this is all about who you want to become, and there is no good or bad. It's just about what are you going to do with the talents that you do have, right? Now, here we go. He says, when will a man accumulate enough money to justify him insulting it down? Or in other words, laying it away in a chest to lock it up, there to lie, doing no manner of good either to himself or his neighbor. It is impossible for man ever to do it. No man should keep his money or property by him that he cannot put to usury for the advancement of that property in value or amount, and for the good of the community in which he lives. If he does, it becomes dead weight upon him. It will rust, canker, and gnaw his soul, and finally work his destruction, for his heart is set upon it. And comes back to this, here's a key point, to sum it all up. Every man who has got cattle, money, or wealth of any description, bone and sinew, should put it out to usury. And then he says this, never hide up anything in a napkin, but put it forth to bring an increase. So guys, he just seriously called out every saver mentality, every financial advisor you just heard about, which is lock your money away, don't do anything with it, just let it grow and compound. And I'll tell you, this is the thing I heard a lot when I met with people as a financial advisor, especially with young couples, right? And this is where I was mostly focusing back in my 20s. I was meeting with people in my 20s that were in their 20s as well. And they'd say, Chris, I don't care about having lots of money. I just want enough to take care of my bills, and that's it. That's all I want. I'm done. Well, and then of course their method was save, 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 whether it be in their 401ks or IRAs that I sold them or whatever it might be, right? Guys, this is not stewardship. This is relinquishing it. This is essentially burying it in your backyard. Just one step above that, like small step above that. It's not doing anybody any good, just sitting around doing nothing. So how are you using this to help other people? This is why I love buying real estate. I know when I buy a property, this provides a home for somebody else. Yeah, I make money, but it's not a win-lose transaction. This is not scarcity. This is an abundant world. If you choose it to become an abundant world. Guys, this I'm purely profiting on something that helps other people, gives them, fulfills a need for them, that provides a home. And hey, they didn't have to fix it up themselves. They're renting it. We had to go and make sure it was fixed up beforehand, or the seller that I bought it from, if I bought turnkey, right, had to fix it up beforehand when they sold it to me. And therefore, now we're providing a wonderful, beautiful place for them to rent. It may not be the Taj Mahal, right? It might just be a simple home for a typical middle-class family, but it's good. And that's the kind of thing that I like. And so this is not meant, money is not meant to just sit around and collect dust or sit around and accumulate and do nothing. It's meant to flow and grow, not to accumulate and stagnate. Does that make sense? All right. So now I want to go and talk about building it and protecting it. So I love the story he gives, right? He gives a story of three different types of people. He kind of, this is on a little bit parable of the talents. He talks about a widow, I recall. It was actually a widow woman that came out. She had three yoke of oxen and a few cows, and she considers herself too poor to have them herded. There's another man that has 10 yoke of oxen. He also causes his oxen to go and wander about, you know? Now, if you asked him, why is he putting them into a herd? He will tell you, I do not want to pay the herding fee. Now, just think of that again. I can't afford it. That's scarcity the answer, right? Well, I don't want to pay the herding fee. So that's why I'm not gonna do it. This is what people tell me to say. I don't want to pay the property manager fee because I want to take more money. And then they wonder why their lives stink, you know, why they hate dealing with real estate. It's because you made it your life that way, you know, because you wanted to save what, 60, 70 bucks in property management fees per month. Come on, guys. Okay. And then he talks about another guy that has, you know, four spans of horses. It had 20 or 30 yoke of cattle, none of them for sale. And he throws them out upon the range. And guess what? They become lost. So they're out roaming the range, but they become lost. So it says, by and by, he sends a boy on horseback to hunt them, who is unsuccessful in finding them after a week's toil. The owner turns out himself and all hands to hunt up his stock, but they also fail in finding them. They are all lost except for a very few. He was not able to have them herded, he thought, though he possessed so much property and knew nothing more than to turn them out to run at large. Thus, he consumes his time running after his lost property. He frets his feelings, for his mind is continually upon it. He is in such a hurry in the morning to go out to hunt his stock that he has no time to pray. When he returns home late at night, worn out with toil and anxiety of mind, he is unfit to pray at this point. His cattle are lost, his mind is unhinged and darkened through the neglect of his duty. And as a result, he is not satisfied with himself and murmurs against his brethren and against his God. Now, guys, let me just say this. I mean, I know it's kind of, you know, late for creating this preface, but whether you believe in God or not, this doesn't matter. The stories and the principles are all the same, right? No matter what your belief is, this all comes down to this, is that when you do not protect your stuff, when you don't have that peace of mind, you can never, ever, 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 ever have financial freedom. You can never have financial freedom. You can play all offense, but if you don't have a defense, you will never be financially free. This story is a perfect illustration of that, is that his mind was fretting. And of course, he lost it. I've known people that only had 5% of their net worth in certain stocks or in the markets or whatever, right? And they're freaking out about it. They still have 95% in all other kinds of assets, but that 5% is enough to worry the crap out of them. So here's what his answer is for protecting it. He says this. He says eventually you find the cattle, but the cattle's all rebranded. It got lost. So other ranchers end up taking the cattle and branding it themselves. Well, pretty much all of this person's livestock is gone, right? This guy's basically become broke. He says, it would have been better for those who possess a great quantity of stock to sell half of them to fence in a piece of land to secure the other half, then to drive them all out to run at large and lose 3/4 of them. So essentially, it'd be better for you to spend half your money to protect the other half than to lose 3/4 of your money. Wouldn't you guys agree with that? It's like, duh, common sense, right? But how many of us will say, no, I can't afford to do that. No, I don't need disability insurance because, you know, I can't afford to do that. I need to keep building my wealth. And as I create enough cash flow, that'll replace my income. But nothing in the meantime, right? This is why, like, a lot of people are like, well, do I really need life insurance? No, you don't, because you're still alive. When you need it, when you're dead, when you can't get it anymore, right? You know, that kind of stuff. Like, this is why as you build your castle, as you build your wealth, more and more needs to be protecting it. Even if it's a small bit. If it's small, great, protect it with a little bit. You don't need a lot. As your wealth gets bigger, you need more protection. Why would you build all this wealth only to lose it to some weird event, right? That's exactly what he's saying here. And so he says this. He says, it is impossible for me to tell you how much a man must possess to entitle him to the liberty of wasting anything or letting it be stolen. So again, he's talking about, you know, using that labor in exchange. He even said, hey, if you want to fence in this cattle, hey, why don't you try to get other people involved as well? Maybe they want to get their cattle in too. Maybe you hire their labor. You offer them some of your cattle to get their labor to build you a fence. And they said, well, how high should the fence be? I like this. He's like, you know, you can build one that keeps out the devil. So he says, build a fence which the boys and the cattle cannot pull down. And I will ensure you will keep your stock. Let every man lay his plans so as to secure enough for his present necessities and hand over the rest to the laboring man. Keep making improvements, building and making farms that will not only advance his own wealth, but the wealth of the community. Guys, this is where I'm heading with this. So first he's saying, like, use the money that you need for yourself, invest the rest. Invest it to not only increase your stewardship, but then also increase your stewardship in a way that helps other people too. So let me share your story. Now, I want to share one point really quickly when he talks about waste, right? He's like, I don't care if a man's worth millions of bushels of wheat, you know, or millions of dollars or whatever you want to say. He's not wealthy enough to suffer his servant to sweep a single kernel of corn into the fire. Let it be eaten by something, pass again into the earth, and thus fulfill its purpose for which it grew. He says, no, I would rather feed my greatest enemy I have on earth with it than to have it go into the fire. Isn't that interesting? He's like, hey, rather than wasting food or wasting my blessings, I'd rather give it to my enemy. Let them have it rather than wasting it. So again, you can look at this from a point of abundance, not scarcity, right? It's not like you got to hoard everything and I'm not going to throw anything away. We're not saying that. We're just saying, hey, when you have something that's good, if you're not going to use it, donate it, give it to somebody else who will use it. You know, if you're not going to use it, lose it, right? I don't literally mean lose it. I mean, I just did that because it rhymes, okay? That's why it's easy to remember. But remember, it means to donate it, give it away, sell it, whatever, you know, when you have your stuff. And usually both parties are blessed because of it. Now, I want to head to this story that he has about growing the stewardship because this illustrates it so awesomely. I quote this story all the time with my clients when they come to my house for the mastermind. I'll quote this one. I'll even draw it out with my crappy drawings because I do not have my mother's talent for art. I'll tell you that much. So, all right. So he's talking about like, what is the purpose of money? Money is meant to be spent, right? He says, why for the purpose of spending his money? You know, again, to make it be used, to increase 100-fold, to increase your blessing, to increase your land or anything you possess 100-fold. So he talks about a guy that says, you know, making a great farm, right? That's the guy that's a farmer, wants to make a farm. He says, when he has done making his farm and his means still increased by his diligent use of it, he can then commence and build a woolen factory, for instance. So he's given this story about this guy that creates this great farm, but he doesn't just, you know, create a farm, right, and live off of it, but he's trying to create surplus with it. He's trying to create more stewardship. But as he becomes more prosperous, he says, hey, you know what? Let's create a wool factory out of this. You know, so he creates a wool factory. So going back to the wool factory. So for instance, he can send and buy the sheep and have them brought here, have them herded here and shear them here and take care of them. Then set the boys and the girls to cleaning, carding, spinning, and weaving the wool into cloth, and thus employed hundreds and thousands of the brethren and sisters who have come from the manufacturing districts to the old country and have not been accustomed to digging the earth for their livelihood, who have not learned anything else but to work in the factory. This would feed and clothe them and put within reach the comforts of life. So think about this. You know, when you hear in the Bible things that our job is to clothe the naked and feed the poor, and both in spirit and in body, right? What better way to do that than to employ people that say, hey, I've got labor. What can you help me do? Now you may, I'm not saying you're going to hire the entire world, right? I can tell you when people say, what can I do? It's like, I don't know. What can you do? And do I need that? I may not, right? And that's fine. There's most of the time people are like, hey, do you know somebody who's doing this kind of work? Not me personally, but I might know somebody who does, and it might be a good fit. Sometimes it's perfect for me. Most of the time it's not, because I have this pretty simple stewardship of what I have and I know what I want. And of course, when I know what I want, then I usually go ask for it, right? But you never know. You know, you can try to find those things. So again, it's not about just giving away money, right? This is about getting something in exchange. We're all exchanging with another. By the way, this is the heart of capitalism. See, socialism, they say you got to force it. Like, hey, if you're wealthy, you got to give this money away. You got to give it. And they won't maybe use terms like, I'm going to kill you for it. You know, I'm going to put you at gunpoint. But essentially, that's what a government does. When they say, you by law are required to do this. If you keep refusing to do it, eventually the guns have to come out and threaten you, right? Or handcuff you or whatever. But that's not what capitalism does. Capitalism says, hey, we need this free exchange of wealth, because exchange does create wealth. How can we use it to benefit others? How can we use it to increase all of our means together, right? So anyways, coming back to this, you know, so again, they're employing these people. It will feed and clothe them, give them comforts of life. It would also create a home at home, a steady market for the produce of the agriculturalist and the labor of the mechanic. When he has spent his $150,000, which he began his business with. So he kind of said he got this farm, he eventually sold it for $150,000. Now, $150,000, if you kind of go back, and it's hard to tell what real inflation is, especially after we jacked with the dollar starting in the 1970s by taking us off the gold standard. The real inflation rate, it's hard to say. But I'll tell you, $150,000 is worth, I would say, in the ballpark of at least $8 to $10 million. So imagine selling a farm for $8 to $10 million, which actually isn't too hard to imagine. There's plenty of farmers that have farms worth that much. And they complain about the taxes they pay on it. So he's saying that this $150,000 he started with, he now has been able to feed 500 persons from 5 to 10 years, and also making a handsome profit for himself from the labors of the hands employed. By the increased population and consequent increased demand of manufactured goods at the end of 10 years, this factory now would be worth $500,000. This would be in the ballpark of like over $30 million, right? So suppose he had wrapped his $150,000 in a napkin for fear of losing it. Remember, he says, don't hide it in a napkin. Now, for fear of losing it, it would have sent him down to perdition, for the principle is from beneath. But when he puts forth his money to usury, not to me or any other person, but where it will redouble itself by making farms, building factories for the manufacture of every kind of material necessary for home consumption, establishing blacksmith shops and other mechanical establishments, making extensive improvements to beautify the whole face of the earth until it shall become like the Garden of Eden. It becomes a saving blessing to him and those around him. And when the kings, princes, and rulers of the earth shall come to Zion, bringing their gold and silver and precious stones with them, they will admire and desire your possessions, your fine farms, your beautiful vineyards, and splendid mansions. They will say, we have got plenty of money, but we are destitute of such possessions as these. And therefore, their money loses value in their eyes when compared with the comfortable possessions of everybody in this valley, and they will want to purchase your property. So here's the thing. So this is the crux of what I mean to be a rippler, right? This is the crux of the ripple effect we're trying to create. What we're trying to do here is say, how can we take the stewardship and keep going? So when people ask me, Chris, like, you don't really have to keep doing this. Why do you keep trying to grow this more? Well, first off, I'm still not trying to destroy my life, right? I am trying to still stay part-time, meaning 20 to 30 hours a week max, what I do for work, the rest of times with family or whatever the heck I want to do, right? But I'll tell you this, is that every time I get to a place of comfort, this comes to mind. Because that's when I realize I can live on my own comfort and convenience. I mean, think about it. Someone sells a farm for $6 or $8 million, right? You know, in today's dollars, or even $8 to $10 million, right? Whatever it might be that number, $150,000, those dollars were. Think about it. I mean, you could, many of you, probably most of you could say, hey, if I make 10% a year off of $8 million or $10 million, that's almost $1 million a year. I can live on that just fine. And you could say, great, no more work is needed, and that's it. But having been there myself twice, where incomes come in to, you know, more than cover my expenses, every time something in my spirit says otherwise, something says, Chris, you're capable of more than this. Chris, your stewardship can be greater than this. And that just doesn't mean just growing my assets, although I'm still doing that today. But what it does mean is, hey, I've got a responsibility to share of everything, of all the wealth that I have, I need to share it. What I'm talking about right here, right now, guys, is that wealth I'm sharing. Granted, I'm reading somebody else's words, but this is stuff I've been able to internalize and realize I can help others do the same thing. The truth is, I'm just taking the same kind of words here, putting in modern terms, and for the last 5+ years, these 6 seasons of this show, I've basically been teaching you these kind of principles, right? These principles that have been true from the beginning of time, and it will be true to the end of time. You know, when we talk about the different shiny objects of the different types of investments, it's exciting. But when it comes down to the core of what we're teaching here, the core principles that really create true prosperity, it's much, much more. Can you understand how deep this goes? This is about creating something bigger and better. And just think, that example he used with that wool factory, he was talking about how it employed blacksmiths, mechanics, and everybody else. It thrived a community. See that ripple effect? That is the image I had in my mind almost 8 years ago now, when I was out for a run trying to come up with a name for Money Ripples, which became Money Ripples. As I was thinking, okay, all these people have been improved their cash flow situation, even not even creating passive income, even just improving their overall cash flow by reducing expenses and helping maximize their income and having that profit in between. I thought, man, like, average person has been like $34,000 a year. that they've been able to free up, whether it be tax savings, paying off debts, or whatever it might have been, right? And then thinking, what kind of a ripple effect does that create? Where now they're prosperous enough. And I thought of one of my clients, my old clients out in North Dakota. Like I remember, he was a chiropractor out there. And him and his wife, the thing is, he's like, I'm going to keep working until I'm dead at the rate I'm going. I can't stop. Like, I don't have any surplus. I don't have any extra money. And then when we started to rearrange things, both between his practice and his personal finances, when we did both, we found we could do some things with his and restructure his, especially with his debts and things like that, freed up $6,000 a month, guys. That's 72 grand a year. What's cool is the first month. And this would be like make Dave Ramsey roll over in his grave if he were dead. He's not dead yet. But the first month, they went and bought a four-wheeler, a $6,000 four-wheeler. With that $6,000, they freed up. Now, you might think, oh, what a waste. But his wife was literally in tears because two things happened. One, he started taking weekends off. He stopped trying to think that he had to keep being in scarcity and keep trying to make money. But secondly, that four-wheeler is what he started to do with his kids on the weekends. He bought his time with his family instead of waiting until they're already gone. It's like the whole cats in the cradle thing, right? Like they were there. They were able to enjoy life. And that's what brought his wife to tears and so much gratitude. That, guys, is the reward that touched my heart so deeply. That's where it's like, oh, all the crap I went through, even during the recession, all that stuff that I learned to become resourceful and to start creating more money. And now, of course, teach people how to create that cash flow. That's what drove me. That's why I've created Money Ripples in the first place. And that's what I saw. Is like I saw their family and also what that did for their kids and creating a legacy through their children, that life didn't have to be hard work or drudgery, right? It could actually be something beautiful. And that only didn't only affect kids and generations, which that can multiply beyond a ripple effect I can even fathom in my mind, but even their own community, because as they prosper, that allows them to start sharing in that wealth too. They don't say, I can't afford it as much. They can start saying, you know what? I can afford that. I can actually start buying of these services or these goods that will help those people too. And when those people get paid, they can pay other people. And then when those people get paid, they can pay other people, and it creates a ripple effect through the community, the country, and across the world. That is the ripple effect that I see, guys. That is the ripple effect I see that in your lives. You know, and I'm thinking about the cash flow has been freed up. It's now to the tune of over $200 million between money saved and or money earned with just my one-on-one clients, not even including many of you that are doing stuff that I don't even see. Guys, that is the kind of power and effect that, sorry to say, politicians can't do squat about. Because politicians, they might make laws and they have their purpose. When people try to rely on them to make changes and help them prosper, it doesn't happen that way, guys. It's about teaching you to be the best steward possible, to give you hope and that freedom to be able to do what you want. Guys, this is what I love. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm still doing what I'm doing. I'm still kicking and I'm still growing. And I'm still here beating the same drum I've been beating for years, which is cash flow creates options and options create freedom. And it's not just about the numbers. It's about having that abundance mindset that truly become free. Because if you stay in that scarcity, thinking that there's never enough, that you got to hoard and pack away your money, you will never be free no matter how much money you have. There's no number ever that will make you free, no matter what that money might even do for you. It's about how you do both. Numbers align with, create that new reality, and your mindset. Most importantly, your mindset, the person you become, becomes abundant, prosperous, and truly wealthy. And wealthy does not mean you're a billionaire. Wealthy means that you are prosperous and free. That is what I hope to leave with you guys. I hope you enjoy this. Again, you're more than welcome to read that whole speech by looking up the use and abuse of blessings on Google. We can even put that in the show notes, a link to that. But guys, like, there's so many more truths I can go into. I didn't even talk about gold and gold not being worth anything. There's so much good stuff and what real capital is. But I'm not going to get into that because that's another conversation. But I'll tell you, a lot of the things I teach, not everything, but a lot of good stuff that I teach that got me fired up to keep doing what I'm doing now, even 14 years after I've read that talk for the first time and had my mind blown. Still, I'm telling you, this is what I'm here to do. So guys, I again want you to make this a wonderful and prosperous life, not just a week, but a life. And we'll see you later. Hey!
Visit us online at moneyripples.com for more resources to help you fix money leaks and get your money working harder for you now.